Chapter 1. I twisted my hips to wriggle free, the weight of my assailant pinning me to the parquet floor. I could smell the carbolic soap used to mop it, feel grit against my cheek as I turned my head. The face above me flushed with anticipated triumph. My shoulders were held down, my ribs crushed by the young ruffian sitting astride me. I could hear laughter from the crowd that had gathered to watch. No one was going to help. They thought it a foregone conclusion, and a few weeks ago it would have been. But I was determined not to be beaten this time. I raised one knee, levering my attacker up and making a little space between us. Quickly I followed through, twisting into the movement and using my elbow as a fulcrum. With a last effort, I managed to turn her weight against her, flipping us over so that my forearm was across her neck and my knee trapped her bent leg beneath us.
Hurrah!
A tiny woman in dark serge jacket and skirt applauded and held out her hand to pull me to my feet.
There you go, Frankie. Miss Swallow is one too many for you now.
Frankie grinned, sitting up and tucking her shirt back into her breeches.
Next time, Marjorie, I demand a repeat match.
I laughed, but I felt rather proud of myself. It was the first time I'd escaped from a hold when matched with Frankie O'Grady, the undisputed champion of the Golden Square Dojo. And I'd only been learning jiu-jitsu for 2 months. After my escapades during our last investigation, my employer, Mrs. Jameson, had insisted I learn the martial art, as taught by the legendary Mrs. Garrett, for self-defense. Edith Garrett had been instructress to the fearsome suffragette bodyguards of the Women's Social and Political Union before the war. Legend had it that this 4'11" woman had once thrown a policeman over her shoulder outside the gates of the Houses of Parliament. While I had no plans to start throwing policemen about, I was enjoying the training. And it was a cheering thought that one could throw a ruffian over one's shoulder if the occasion arose. There was a knock and respectful cough from outside the hall.
Come, called Mrs. Garrett.
Graham Hargreaves, Mrs. Jameson's butler, put his head around the door.
Sorry to interrupt, ladies. May I remind Miss Swallow that she has an appointment for luncheon?
He looked at my dusty skirt and blouse.
You might want to come back to Bedford Square to change. It's the American ambassador.
There was a chorus of oohs and ahs.
Get you, said Frankie. Don't let us keep you from your society engagements. All right for some, eh?
I blushed hard and tried to tidy my hair, which had fallen down my back. Thank you, Graham. I'll come at once.
Let me help.
Lily Rose, Frankie's girl, took the hairbrush from my canvas bag and brushed out my dark locks, twisting them up into a bun.
When are you going to get it cut, then?
Her own brown hair curled prettily down her back, but she was adamant I should have mine shingled in the modern style. I wasn't sure I was ready for the chop. One day, I've been too busy. Since concluding the case of the Bloomsbury blackmail murder, Mrs. Jameson and I had been occupied with moving into her new house in Bedford Square, which required much furnishing and staffing. And then there was the task of informing her many friends and acquaintances of her new address and of inviting them all to a Christmas Eve housewarming party in Bloomsbury. Most of this work had fallen to me, as Mrs. Jameson's secretary. It was as well that we'd had no private investigations underway for the past 2 months. But now Christmas was over, I could tell Mrs. Jameson was getting bored. She claimed her work as a lady detective was to help achieve justice for those who might otherwise not get it. But if you asked me, it was mainly to keep her entertained. She'd complained non-stop about the dreary January weather in London and vowed that next year she would spend the winter on the Riviera. I hoped that this appointment with the American ambassador to London, which had been postponed several times because of our house move and Christmas, would provide her with some new interest. Hastily, I brushed myself down, thanked Mrs. Garrett for the class, and promised Frankie I would beat her again next time. Graham was waiting on the steps of the hall, hailing a taxi cab.
You didn't need to come and fetch me, I told him. I wasn't going to forget.